Hey, Rich Eisen here. I hear from a lot of business owners like you about the work it takes to pursue your passions. So I know how important it is to have the tools that can help keep you moving forward. And with access to world-class business and travel benefits, the American Express Business Platinum Card helps you take your business to the next level. It offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business. Plus, you'll have complimentary access to more than 1,400 airport lounges worldwide, including the Centurion Lounge, so you can keep running your business while you're on the go. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness. Some people just know they could save hundreds on car insurance by checking Allstate first. The same way you know you've got to make sure your lucky jersey is clean on game day or your team might lose. Checking first is smart. So check Allstate first for a quote that could save you hundreds. You're in good hands with Allstate. Savings vary, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is the Rich Eisen Show.
Shark jump and somersaults into the end zone.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
You think you're a first rounder?
I think so. I think I'm the most pro ready guy to come in and compete and start right away.
The Rich Eisen Show.
So many teams that do not potentially get Rodgers. Why wouldn't they want to take him?
Earlier on the show, Saturday Night Live cast member Mikey Day, Michigan men's basketball head coach Dusty May. Coming up, two-time Academy Award winning actor Robert De Niro. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
That's right, Robert De Niro is joining us in 20 minutes. When we've got a celebrity true or false and an extra... I've split the celebrity true or false up into two, which is just the normal celebrity true or false, and then I've got an extra true or false about what movie lines that just stand out for me in his career were ad-libbed or not. Because he's known for just, you know,
what a
being Robert De Niro.
Yeah.
And so my two hopes that he does this interview and he A, enjoys it, and B, enjoys it so much that I get to call him Bob.
That is what all his buddies call him.
That's what I heard
for Felly,
years.
And right. Felly had an idea, as you said, because we always do the Bryan Cranston line of best idea wins. You were, I totally, if you didn't say this, I would have totally forgotten.
We would have blanked.
Like, so we have a screen grab of De Niro's autograph on the Goodfellas poster that may be completely fake of all the autographs of Scorsese, De Niro, Pesci, and Ray Liotta that I bought at a charity golf auction, you know, 20 something years ago for $1,000, like four figures, that Ray Liotta, when he was here on the show almost 10 years ago, he's like, yeah, my autograph's fake. And he re-signed it. So we have a screen grab.
I don't do the
like if we have time at the end of the interview with De Niro, where I'm actually gonna show him his autograph and ask him if it's real.
Would that be like a double or nothing for you? Like,
I don't know. I don't know.
All right, I'm okay.
How about
now,
this? Or... I can't handle the answer
don't even
either
think about
way.
It. Don't think about right? it.
I hope you get to ask.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. In the meantime, listen, whenever you talk about rule proposals in the NFL, how many times here when you're like, this is what they should do in the NFL? And I say to you, how do you word it?
A lot, yeah.
Because you have to word it.
Very specific.
You must word it in order for it to get passed by ownership, or as they refer to it inside the organization, membership inside the league. You need to have it passed by membership, because in order for it to get passed by membership, they have to say, what is it about? Mm-hmm. Why are you presenting this? What is your point? And how does it fit in the rule book as it's currently written? And so today is one of the few days in the NFL calendar where we celebrate paperwork. Another one is the schedule coming out. We're celebrating paperwork. Hey.
And the draft is paperwork.
I guess there are manners in which things must be processed, I guess. But part of this process is to see it in writing. And today, the league sent out to all of its clubs and members and staff the actual proposals, rule proposals, and how they're written. And some of them are a little bit, deep in the weeds. Like, you know, they're trying to change the number of scouts that can go to games and back-to-back days and weeks, and they're also changing the way kicking balls are handled and whatever. But I've got three rule proposals that jump out at you. Four, actually. The first one's from the Philadelphia Eagles. They want to change overtime rules to make the regular season like postseason, where everybody gets to touch the ball, even if somebody scores a touchdown to start. You know, in the postseason, if somebody scores a touchdown to start, you get a chance to match. And in the regular season, you score a touchdown, game's over. And the problem is in order to assure that, the way that the overtime rules are set up in the regular season, there's not enough time maybe to give somebody another shot at scoring a touchdown if somebody scored a touchdown, because somebody takes 7-8 of the 10 minutes up. The Eagles say make it a 15-minute overtime in the regular season. Make it the length of a regular quarter, not 10 minutes as it currently is.
But what about player safety?
Well, I mean, because you must put in the effect. When you submit your proposal, you must also put in what the effect of your rule is, like, because they want to know what are we not thinking about here.
Yeah.
And then the reason. The effect of this rule change is it aligns the postseason and regular season overtime rules by granting both teams an opportunity to possess the ball regardless of the outcome of the first possession, subject to a 15-minute overtime period in the regular season. And the reason is competitive equity. I dig it. I would vote yes on that. It's another 5 minutes. Let's do it. Let's do it. And for, because I always come from, as you know, if I'm on the competition committee, I think of it as a fan point of view. So fans like, wait a minute, in the regular season it was this, and now you got to know the difference of the two things. Make it easy. Rules in the regular season stays alike before.
Again, and we've had this debate before, like the team going second has the advantage. Because they know it. They have to go for it on fourth down.
I understand that, but at least
like
you're...
giving a team to match a touchdown is, again,
I'm trying to make it simple. Simple, simple, simple. The Detroit Lions have come up with a couple of playing rule proposals. One is you take illegal contact down the field and within 5 yards and all of the illegal contact penalties and defensive holding penalties and say that automatic first down that comes to them, see ya, out. The effect eliminates an automatic first down as a penalty imposed for defensive holding and illegal contact. And the reason why, competitive equity, current penalty enforcement is too punitive for the defense. What are you laughing about?
More rules to favor the offense.
Well, no, that's what that's the point, is they're saying that.
And like I said, the reason why Detroit wants to do this. Do you want to know why Detroit's doing this?
No, but you just... I don't understand why you said what you just said, because this rule is it makes it the defense holds and it's not an automatic first down. It's just distance.
I see what you mean. All right. I'm wrong.
It's just distance. So why are the Lions doing this?
The Lions are doing this, guys, in case you're wondering, according to Warren Sharp, since 2023, do you know who commits the most defensive holding and illegal contact penalties? The Detroit Lions have 26 of these. If we're talking about just teams in the NFC North, that is 10 more than the Green Bay Packers.
So your point is, if he can't coach it, change the rules.
Bingo. Indianapolis, it worked for the Colts.
Well, I'll tell you what. You know who will know this? The rest of the membership voting on it. They'll know those numbers.
Yeah.
They'll know it.
Minnesota, the least called team for this. Only 6 in the last 2 years.
Here's one Detroit's put out there that I think you'll agree with, though, Christopher. They want to change the way that the playoffs are seeded.
Playoffs.
As you know, right now, the Minnesota Vikings this past year, for instance, 14 wins, didn't win the division. So they had to go on the road to start the playoffs. No home playoff for them in the first week.
A little ridiculous.
Because they didn't win the division. So division winners get the home playoff spots over wild card teams that may have more wins because they've won the division. They say do away with it. The division champion with the best record is number one seed. And everyone else after the one seed gets seeded by their record. And it doesn't matter if you've won the division. The only way that the division does matter is if you have the same record in the tiebreak, the first tiebreak between you and a wild card team with the same record. If you haven't played one another and it's not head to head, we're not going to anything else. Did you win the division? Yes, you're seeded higher.
That should be the number one tiebreaker, right?
That is the number one in this right now. In this way, you'd be seated higher if you've won the division, but not given the, if you have the same record as the wild card team,
The wild card team has more wins than you. Doesn't matter if they didn't win the division. They would be seated higher with you and maybe get a home playoff game. And so how does that look? Let's take a look based on last season.
Okay.
This is what last season, the NFL Network research staff put this together. Pop it up if you don't mind. The NFC is first since Minnesota would be the 3 seed instead of the 5 seed. Packers were the 7 seed. They'd be the 5 seed. The Rams that were the 4 seed, they're the 7 seed. The Lions would be right where they were, and the Eagles would win the strength of victory tiebreaker over Minnesota but the Eagles would have won the division anyway. Seated higher than the Vikings, and the Buccaneers higher than the Rams because that's the tiebreak, better conference record. So the Rams got a home game against the Vikings. Now the Vikings would get a home game against the Bucs instead of the Bucs getting a home game in the first round of the playoffs.
So we would have still
against
got
the Commanders.
We would have still got Eagles Rams, but a round earlier, right?
Right.
Viking Bucks at Vikings,
and it still would have been a big finish of the season because the Lions would have not had the bye week. They would have been in the Vikings spot 3 had they lost that game instead of 5. Let's take a look at the AFC.
Interesting.
Under the rule proposal, the Chiefs would have still been the same. Bills and the Ravens would have been the same. The difference with the Chargers would have hosted the Texans. How about that? So not much of a difference in the AFC side of things.
Yeah.
But the Chargers would have hosted the Texans. And it's like, okay, would I vote for this? I'd have to think about it.
I probably not. It sounds cool. I don't think I would vote for it.
I would vote against the first down penalty for defense. I'm sorry. Just don't hold.
Keep your hands
off. And secondly, I'd think about that reseeding there. Now then, the mother load.
Yeah.
We have the language on the actual rule proposal of the tush push ban from the Green Bay Packers. And it's simple. No offensive player may immediately at the snap push or throw his body against a teammate who is lined up directly behind the snapper and receive the snap to aid him in an attempt to gain yardage. That's describing the tush push, baby. It's just like the guy who's getting the ball snapped to him. Nobody who's lined up directly behind the snapper can be pushed in an attempt to gain yardage. That is as plain as day to ban the tush push as you possibly can get. There's no way around it. There's no loophole. The kudos to the legal department of the Packers because they probably came up with this language. And here's the interesting thing, though. Because it's not just a rule proposal to just ban the tush push. You put it up on the screen, Mike Hoskins. It's actually part of a larger rule proposal about assisting the runner and interlocking interference. So the first order of business in this rule proposal is you can't pull a runner in any direction at any time. You can't pull somebody while you're an offensive player. May not pull a runner in any direction at any time.
That's sort of a rule, right? You can't pull off a pile.
Well, you can't pull a runner. Like if somebody's running and they need to be pulled away, you're an offensive player and you pull somebody, your teammate to pull somebody.
Okay.
It's not like we're begging for this rule change, to be honest with you. And I don't know, interlocking interference, you can't grasp a teammate by using his hands or arms to encircle the body of your teammate in an effort to block an opponent. So you can't use somebody
like a rugby scrum kind of
to shield to block somebody by using your opponent to block somebody. Who's clamoring for that? Anybody?
Nope.
It's just odd that they would use that. No offensive player may see, push, or throw his body against a teammate to aid him in an attempt to obstruct an opponent or to recover a loose ball. Now, that's interesting because the ball's loose. Sometimes you're yanking someone away to go get the fumble. That would be now a 10-yard penalty. So would the tush push. There it is now. It's Article D.
Wow.
It's Article D. So they've dressed it amongst other concerns that I don't know if anyone else has. And I'm wondering if the reason why they put those A, B, and C in there is because, again, you must put an effect and a reason behind your rule proposal. And the Packers' reason for banning the tush push in this entirety is for player safety and pace of play.
Pace of play.
And I'm like, okay, did they put the other items in here so they could have that fig leaf of pace of play and player safety? Because I've never heard somebody, that's a dangerous play, that tush-push play, unless you're talking about the safety and the guards, right? The defensive tackle.
Jason right? Kelce has said it's literally only hurts the center.
Yeah.
So the reason why I would vote against the tush-push to ban it is exactly what Mark Schlereth told Susie when she was talking with him from this chair a couple weeks ago when she was hosting the show. And Schlereth's like, hey, defensive players aren't allowed to push somebody into the pile, or they're not allowed to push, like, it, against the tush push, no one can go behind Chris Jones and push him.
Right.
That's illegal. So why are they allowed to do it on offense? That's one way I would say, you got my vote, get rid of the tush push. But the reason why I wouldn't vote for this is because I do believe the Rich Eisen Show exclusive, the original text of the reason the Packers gave for their rule is, I think we have it right here. There it is. Because we can't stop it.
wait a minute. The original draft.
That's the original draft.
Oh.
Because we can't stop it.
Oh, man.
And I think that's the reason why this rule is being put into place. Why else are we seeing A, B, and C? It's kind of dangerous when you're pulling somebody away from a loose ball. Or when was the last time you saw an offensive player pull another teammate, you know, to get a first down? I mean, sometimes you see the shove for a first down. You do see an offensive player maybe yanking his teammate across the first down line.
They do it on
line.
The goal line, too, kind of, if there's a running back. I don't know.
If this is because you can't stop it, then I'm...
That's kind of lame.
Then your vote, my vote's against it. But if you're talking about Schlereth, let's make it simple and easy, where defense can't do it, offense can't do it either, you may influence me. But that's our exclusive. Let's take a break, because Robert De Niro is about to join us. Words I never thought I would say, but we're psyched, because this is the Rich Eisen Show, and that's Robert De Niro, and we're going to hang out when we come back. Hey, Rich Eisen here. I hear from a lot of business owners like you about the work it takes to pursue your passions. So I know how important it is to have the tools that can help keep you moving forward. And with access to world-class business and travel benefits, the American Express Business Platinum Card helps you take your business to the next level. It offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business. Plus, you'll have complimentary access to more than 1,400 airport lounges worldwide, including the Centurion Lounge, so you can keep running your business while you're on the go. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness. Some people just know they could save hundreds on car insurance by checking Allstate first. The same way you know you've got to make sure your lucky jersey is clean on game day or your team might lose. Checking first is smart. So check Allstate first for a quote that could save you hundreds. You're in good hands with Allstate. Savings vary, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois. At the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event, get deals so right, it almost feels wrong. Now's the best time to get that Hyundai car or SUV you've always wanted. Plus, every new Hyundai comes with America's best warranty and 3 years or 36,000 miles of limited complimentary maintenance. Don't think you can get away with all that? Think again. But don't wait. The Hyundai Getaway Sales Event is going on now. So visit your local Hyundai dealer today. It's a great day for a new Hyundai. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. This is awesome. I'm not going to lie. This is a big moment for me personally and for this show. Thrilled to have here one of my all-time favorites. I'm not just saying that because I'm about to introduce him. The star of the Alto Nights, available in theaters nationwide this very Friday, March 21st. The Academy Award winner, Robert De Niro, here on The Rich Eisen Show. How are you, sir?
I'm okay. Thank you. I just got over a virus, 24-hour virus.
Oh, boy.
But my little baby had it, and then everybody else in the household's getting it. My other children, my other kid, my girlfriend, everybody.
Well, that's what normally happens. So, you had no idea the antidote is to appear on the Rich Eisen show. You had no idea.
There you go. I would have done it earlier.
Yes, exactly right. There is a medicinal quality to appearing on this program.
Sounds good.
You okay? And so let me jump right into it here. When did you first take on this project knowing that you would play not one but two characters and not just anybody, but Frank Costello and Vito Genovese? Robert?
Well, Erwin Winkler had sent me, called me and said, I'm going to send you a script, and it's written by Nick Pileggi, and Barry Levins is going to direct it. And so I said, well, you know, good, I'll read it right away. And I read it, and we talked, and we all met and talked, and we talked about the Costello character, thinking that's probably the one I would play. But then Erwin said, well, you know, maybe what about thinking about playing the two parts? And I said, let me think about that a little bit.
Yes.
And I took a couple of days and said, yeah, why not? It'll justify even more my doing a gangster movie again. Because after the Irishman, I didn't think I'd ever do another one. But then, and also, I probably would have done it either way with Barry Levinson and Nick and Erwin. But anyway, so that's how it started.
Yeah, I'm sure you go back, obviously, way back with Nick Pileggi and his material and Erwin Winkler as well. And Barry Levinson is as great as they come. We just showed a clip of you on screen with yourself. Is that even a first for you in your career, Robert?
Well, I'm not sure. There's certain things about myself that I don't, you know, agree with.
Yes.
So I have to straighten those out with myself.
That's
and
good.
Then I finally figured, because I'm only playing a part. These are two parts. So we got that worked out. And, well, what was the original question?
Like, have you been in a scene, you know, with yourself? Obviously, you know, that I was wondering. So you're shaking your head. That's never been the case for you.
No, I haven't done that. I was concerned about but I said, look, I haven't done it. Let me try it. And these characters are sort of mythological, and there was enough material on them, video and stuff like that, film on them, stuff like that, books and this and that, that you had stuff to work with. And visually, they looked different enough and so on. So I thought, you know, let me do it.
And it is terrific, and everybody should go see it. You, Deborah Messing, Michael Rispoli, you two times over, and Barry Levinson, the director. The Alto Knights is in, again, theaters nationwide this coming Friday. Go see it. It is definitely worth your time. You know, Robert, I've got a segment that is popular on this program called Celebrity True or False, and I have a bunch of questions about your career that I'm wondering if are true or not, not just because they're on the internet. And I'm wondering if you wouldn't mind answering some of these questions for me right now. Thank you so much. And there's also some top-notch production quality to it that we're very proud of here on The Rich Eisen Show. Please roll it for Robert De Niro.
Celebrity true or false?
You can't handle the truth.
There you go. That's the setup. That's our production value, Robert, right there. What do you think?
Okay,
good. I'm glad we're through it. Okay. We're through it. Okay, first up, true or false, Robert De Niro. You prepped for Taxi Driver by working an overnight shift as a cab driver and got recognized because you had just won your first Oscar in Godfather Part II. Is that true?
There was one time while I was working in the cab for about 2 weeks, I looked through the rearview mirror and the passenger, I could tell, you know, that he said, do I know that person something? And so that was the only time, actually. No one looks at the driver, a cab driver. Usually they don't, you know, you're just a driver. So it was pretty anonymous.
But the story that I had read, again, on the internet, which means normally it's true, is that somebody was sitting in the back of this cab and said, you know, aren't you the guy who just won for The Godfather Part II? And is this so bad that you can't get any work that you're a cab driver? Is that true?
That's a good story, but that's not what that, as I remember.
Oh.
You know,
But you did it for 2 weeks? You were a cab driver overnight for 2 weeks in 1975?
I think it was about 2 weeks. I think it was.
Did you make any money off of it? Like, did you actually?
Yeah, I made a few dollars, yeah.
What did you pick up from that, driving a cab?
It's interesting. I didn't pick up any crazy people or anything. It was pretty civilized, the whole thing. I drove all over the city, and it was good.
Okay. You know,
I took got my hack license and all that stuff, and it was good.
You didn't have the Mohawk cut, though, right? Driving?
No.
Okay. Okay. No. So did you, because that would have been a different vibe in your cab, right? Had you had the Mohawk in the middle of the night in 1975.
It would have been. But, you know, it's New York, so people, all the more reason to ignore you because they say, oh, let them just drive me where I need to go. I don't want to know anymore.
Okay. Next up, true or false, Robert De Niro, you actually broke one of Joe Pesci's ribs in Raging Bull, and Martin Scorsese kept that shot in the movie. Is that true?
That could be true. I didn't know it. I mean, I was holding my punches, but Joe, apparently I did crack his rib because I was very careful.
So, he kept it in the film, Scorsese?
I think he did. You wouldn't notice. I mean, he might have winced more or something. I'm forgetting. But if Marty says he did, he did.
Is it true you met Scorsese as a teenager? Because you grew up in the same Lower East Side neighborhood? Is that true?
Yeah, we didn't hang out together, but we knew each other's group. And we had a mutual friend who actually was in the movie, named Robert Urcola. He sadly passed away a few months ago. I was doing a documentary, and he used to go between my group and his. And, you know, we would talk, and he'd tell me that Marty's going to NYU, and he's directing this and so on, and this or that. So I did I was part of a documentary about Scorsese that I don't know when it'll come out, but with Rebecca Miller, Arthur Miller's daughter, and we had a kind of a reunion meeting in the Cafe Roma in Little Italy, and with these two guys that I know and Marty knows, Frank Piccirillo and Robert Urcola and Marty, and we were talking, reminiscing. And then I said to Barry Levinson after we were just starting to do the casting, I said, Barry, I have two friends, old friends that, you know, they might be good for this, and they'll add a lot of real texture, and they'd be good, I think. You know, you mind meeting them? He said, no, I'll meet them. And he met them, and then he read with them. And I read with them, and he used them both. Frank plays Boyardo, and Robert played Tony Bender. And he was very happy with them. They did a terrific job. I forget why I was saying that.
No, because you had met Martin Scorsese back in the day, and that kind of does.
Yeah, Marty, I knew. And this kid was, he used to go between us.
Right.
And now we were doing a documentary. Well, and over the years, I'd see him here and there, but, you know, not that often.
It leads me perfectly into my next item for you, Robert De Niro. True or false, Scorsese wanted to put regular people in Goodfellas roles, so he cast your Tribeca landlord as Maury the Wig Man. Is that true?
That's true. Chuck Lowe, yeah.
He was your landlord?
He was my landlord, yes.
Okay.
I introduced him to Marty. He also has been not with us for a while, but he was a real character, and I introduced him to some other directors. They all liked him a lot. They used him in their movies. In The Mission, he played Cabeza. Roland Joffe liked him well enough to use him in a good part. And then so Marty used him in Goodfellas. I forget which came first, Goodfellas or The Mission, but anyway, he used it.
So, and so he was, did he have a wig in real life, Robert? Was he really?
He was sort of balding. Okay. He was almost, but he was a character. He was a real character. I could see why anybody would want to use him in a movie. And we used him in King of Comedy, too. Oh. He was terrific in that.
What was he in King of Comedy? Who was he in that one?
Well, I think a lot of it was cut out, but it was great stuff. He was sort of hitting on my girlfriend, And there was a scene in a phone booth where he's making a call. And I think somehow he gets her number. He calls her. He's waving to her through the phone booth. Anyway, but there was a lot of great stuff. I wish it had been kept in the movie, but it was just too long, I guess. But he was terrific.
Yeah, well, maybe that, you know, the fact that you knew him is the reason why you spared him for a brief bit in Goodfellas, right, Robert? Just a brief bit.
You know? For a little bit. And then it was, you know, he was... Yeah.
just a little bit. Next up, Robert De Niro. My favorite comedy of all time is Midnight Run. And I'm honored to be able to tell that to you here on this show. It's actually a big moment for me personally to be able to tell you that. True or false, you took the role of Jack Walsh in Midnight Run because a scheduling conflict kept you from taking the lead role in Big. Is that true?
No, it just didn't work out in Big. I was working a lot with Penny on it, and it was just a negotiation thing, and but it was fine. You know, it was okay. It wasn't a scheduling thing.
Okay, but you were in line to take the lead role in Big, and whatever happened led you to Midnight Run.
No, it didn't lead me to Midnight Run. I would have done Midnight Run. There was no scheduling problem that I remember.
Midnight Run is just a beautiful movie, Robert.
Thank you.
It makes you laugh. It makes you cry. And, you know, I can't get enough of it. And I'm wondering what your memory of this film was 35 years ago now, by the way.
Yeah, it was a terrific script. George Gallo wrote it. And Marty Brest directed it. It was just, I had a lot of fun doing it. And yeah, I was really wanted to do the film. And so I was glad that I was able to when I read the script.
But in real life, you are not unpopular with the Chicago Police Department, right, Robert? We just
no.
make sure. Okay, very good. I want to make sure on that. All right. I got two more for you here in the true or false. True or false, your diner scene with Al Pacino in Heat was shot at 1 a.m. with no rehearsals.
There was no blocking necessary. We were both sitting in seats facing each other at a table. So we started late for some reason. The dark was needed. It was night. And I guess we did start shooting around one of the movies. That's one of my favorite scenes of the movie. And when I read it, I said, this is a great scene.
Why?
It was just the dynamic between these two characters. It all sort of came together in that scene. So I really wanted to do my best in it.
Were you aware that it was the first on-screen time you've ever had with Pacino in your careers? Were you guys aware of that when you sat down in that diner in Los Angeles?
If you thought about it, I realized that obviously, yeah, somewhere.
Okay. Last one for you, Robert De Niro, and celebrity true or false. True or false, Don Rickles needled you with no mercy throughout the entire shoot of Casino. Is that true?
Don was a very sweet, lovely guy who always, that was his thing to give you a hard time, but it was always nice. It was never mean or anything like that. Everybody who knew him knew that. But he delivered, you know, he was good. He was very funny. So there are well-known stories about him doing certain things to people, but always with a good feeling.
I love it. Okay, before I let you go, I have a couple of quick ones here. Because again, I've been studying your career forever, and I'm wondering if it's true or false, just if you ad-lib these lines or not, yes or no. Taxi Driver, you talking to me, was that an ad-lib?
I think it was.
It just came off your dome, you talking to me?
You were looking in the mirror and so on doing this. It seemed right to do, and I think, but Marty would be the better person to tell you he remembers everything. It was. We had all the other stuff in the scene was there, but the actual you talking to me was just something that I came up with while we were shooting the scene.
True or false, Scorsese in the backseat of your cab, do you see the woman in the window? Was that ad-libbed by him?
It might have been. We were supposed to use another actor named George Memoli, but George had an accident working on another movie, so he couldn't shoot. So Marty had to do it. And Marty's good. So he, you know, I forget. He might have ad-libbed.
Okay. Next up, true or false, the breakdown in the jail in Raging Bull where you say, I'm not an animal, and you're punching the wall and you're hitting your head against the wall. Was that ad-libbed by you?
Some of it might have been. The basic idea of it, the thrust of it, making the points was had always had to be there. Yeah. We made a wall that was made of a kind of a hard rubber,
oh,
knowing that I would do that.
That was my follow-up question. If you hurt yourself doing that, Robert?
No.
Okay, very good. Next up, an Untouchables railing at Elliot Ness at the end when you're being put in jail, nothing but talking a badge. Was that ad-libbed by you? Then
I think, you know, Mamet is a great writer of his of dialogues, especially. So in his case, I would always, you know, respect that because I couldn't say it any better than the way he wrote it.
Yeah, because, I mean, Costner's been on this show and he said at one point that he really thought you were going to get out him. Like one split second in his mind during the scene, he thought you were going to break loose and actually hurt him is what he thought. Robert.
Well, that's what. Well, in acting, that's what you're supposed to feel, in order so that it can be real and the audience can believe it.
Okay, I got three more here. True or false? Ad lib. Charles Grodin's entire litmus configuration scene in Midnight Run was an ad lib.
I don't know which one that was. He
went in the bar. He asked for $20 bills. The red was the guy behind the counter. He asked for 20s. He stole the money. You were the one actually getting the pencil and rubbing the eraser on it. The litmus configuration scene.
He might have, you know, he made the points. He might have made them with ad libbing. I don't remember.
Okay.
But it all felt right. Whatever he was doing.
Okay. Any line in the lie detector scene in Meet the Parents, was any of that an ad lib by you at all?
I don't remember. I think it was pretty much the way it was scripted. There could have been a line here and there that we threw in.
Okay. And then the last one, and I'm particularly curious about this, the entire dinner scene at the house of Tommy's mother, played by Scorsese's own mom, Catherine, in Goodfellas, was that an ad lib scene?
There were ad libs there, of course, you know, talking with her and this and that and the food and all that stuff, sure.
So you got in there and you just acted just like how
we just like we're sitting around and just.
And the same thing with the picture of the guy and the dog. One dog goes one way, one dog goes the other way, and this guy says, "What do you want from me?" That was Pesci's line. Was that an ad lib based
on that? Could have been something that was there, but Joe probably ad libbed it.
Fantastic.
Could be wrong.
Robert, I appreciate you answering all these questions for me, man. I could go on and on. The limited series Zero Day is currently available for streaming now on Netflix. I'd love to give you the floor on that and what you enjoyed about that series that people could start binging right here on Roku as soon as we're done.
Well, it was a long shoot. It's like doing three features back to back. There was a lot of information that had to be gotten out, exposition that I was concerned about. So I was always trying to keep up with what we had to do each day with the dialogue and so on. I felt like I was swimming the English Channel toward England, looking back at France and not seeing it, looking toward England, not seeing it. I just had to keep swimming, to make it to the other side. But it was all worth it. It's just it was a different way of working for me. Leslie Ligaglada was terrific as the director, and Eric Newman as the showrunner. I had one director because sometimes they bring in different ones, and that I was a little concerned about. I didn't want to have to do that. So Leslie did all six episodes.
Robert, I really appreciate the time here. It is an honor to have you on. And you bet. And if you will indulge me in just one more minute here, I have a Goodfellas poster in my green room that I bought at a golf auction years ago. Ray Liotta was a guest on this program long before his passing. He saw the autographed poster in my green room. This is him busting it open with an axe, okay? Because he said the autograph on it that was supposedly his was fake.
Oh, that's oh wow.
And okay. So now this is a big moment for me, Robert. I need to ask you if yours is fake too, because that would freak me out. Is that your real autograph, Robert De Niro?
Can I see the full
yes, sir. Signature? Yes, we can. I think we have a do we have a full picture for Robert to see? Okay, that's all we got for you to see.
I see the last name. I don't see the front. That's important.
That's all there is. That's all there is, actually.
Then I don't know, because especially then I would write my full name, and the end looks a little like if they copied it, okay, but the front is important, and not just the last name. I sign my full name.
So that's all there is. It's not like we've
then
got.
That's weird. That's weird.
So you think it's fake? You think
I won't go so far as to say that, but if I looked at the whole poster and saw the way it was, I might be able to give you a better idea.
Okay. Well, again, that's all there is of your autograph on the poster.
Yeah, that's strange. That's weird.
Okay. So I have been hoodwinked.
So I'll sign one for you next time.
I will take it.
Whenever you send it.
I appreciate it. I will do that, because Ray did, in fact, bust the thing open, and like a check, he crossed it out and initialed the cross out and then signed it himself again.
If you send me that one, okay. I'll do the same thing if I don't think it's mine, and I'll write it out again.
Thank you. Accepted. I greatly appreciate it. Accept it. Look for my missive soon enough. And thank you again.
Just send it.
I will do that. Like I said, I have been a fan forever, and this has been an honor to have you, and I'm thrilled to help in any way support the Alto Knights and Zero Day and anything else. If you ever want, I'm happy to be here and chat with you, because I barely scratched the surface.
Well, thank you.
I appreciate that. That's Robert De Niro.
Yes,
right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Check out the Alto Knights in theaters near you.
Oh boy.
No Contest Wrestling, where O'Shea Jackson Jr. and T.J. Jefferson bring their hot takes with the biggest names in the game.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Bron Breakker.
Welcome to the Pod.
My aspirations in life, I always wanted to be a WWE superstar.
The Prodigy, Roxanne Perez. I gotta talk about the hugger cosplay.
I mean, it was perfect, wasn't it?
You know? L.A. Knight.
What am I doing here? At this point, I can retire. See you, everybody.
The No Contest Wrestling Podcast, part of the Rich Eisen Podcast Network. Follow and listen on your favorite platform.
You see stuff that's on the walls here when you walk in. There's a Goodfellas poster that I've had for ever.
Really?
Yes.
Where'd you get it?
I got it at a charity auction.
Huh.
And it's on the wall. And you signed it. You signed it.
Rafi!
What do you mean?
It's not on the
Okay, our stage manager coming. That's it. You've taken it off the wall.
Yeah, it's not my signature.
What do you mean it's not your signature?
This is not my signature, buddy.
Down there?
You got ripped off.
No, I did not. You're kidding me.
I don't do a frou-frou L like that. I don't cross it.
So that is like not that. Yours, because it's signed by you, De Niro, and Pesci, and I spent at least four figures on this thing.
Get out of here.
Yes.
You're a sucker. No, that's...
Now, you're being serious. That is definitely not your signature.
Yeah, I'm...
Scorsese, it says Scorsese signed it down there, too. Look at that, underneath.
That's his.
That is?
I'm not sure that Bob's. I can only remember signing really like five that was complete. And there was never like one of those signings where you all lay there. I mean, I could sign it for real.
Yeah.
At least I could double it.
Do what you wish. If that is, do you know if that's Pesci's? Do you know if that's Joe's?
No, that's him.
No, I know that's him.
I know.
Do you know if that's his signature?
I don't know Joe's signature.
Okay.
Rich, you show that to every guest that walks in here.
Yeah. Sure. This is hanging in. So every guest that walks in here, this is one of the first things that they see in the hallway. You sure?
We'll take care of it later. Rafi.
Yeah. What do you got?
He's got an axe.
Are you serious?
Do you want the real?
Yeah, sure. But, you know, I mean...
It's going to hurt the...
Okay.
Oh, no, it doesn't.
Oh, that's me. You just smacked yourself
in your heart attack. We'll do it later.
Okay.
That's not me.
Yeah, you just banged yourself. You just cracked the glass. So we could take it out. Smash the glass. I mean, you got that at this point.
No, it's not
time.
Glass, though. It's not really glass.
It's like a plexi.
But we'll do it. We'll fix it.
Okay.
But you got ripped off.
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
Is How are you feeling now, Rich? Look at this. Knowing
He's holding on to the X.
All right, so ask me a question.
Oh my gosh, you put the axe down. This is fantastic. I don't even know where to go with this because that has been one of my most prized possessions for some time. And you are the real McCoy saying that is not your signature.
Yeah, no, it's not. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, did I really hurt my head there? It's a crack.
Of all the places for you to smash it, it was directly in the forehead of you in the movie poster right there. But it's all good because we're going to take that thing apart. If that's not your signature, I need your actual John Hancock on that.
And now it will be removed almost 10 years later again so we could send it across the country to Robert De Niro to sign. You have hold up that.
So this is the boxing glove
from whatever boxing movie.
That
does not match.
It's not the same.
That we know has been authenticated. That is his autograph.
We know this is his.
You got half of it.
And it is not. Even the half, it's not.
No.
Because I just looked at it and it's my fault. I zoomed in a little bit too tight. There is a slight bit of a first name, but it doesn't look like that. It just doesn't look like that. It doesn't look like that. It's not his autograph. It's not his signature. So now we're going to send that across.
Are we blaming 99 for this?
It was at his golf tournament. But you know when you hire someone to your golf tournament, he authenticates everything.
Nah, you're just getting donations.
Don't blame Warren Sapp for anything. My God. What do you want me to get in trouble? It's your problem. Back on the Rich Eisen Show radio network, along with our Roku channel live stream, at the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Get deals so right, it almost feels wrong. Now is the best time to get that Hyundai car or SUV you've always wanted. Plus, every new Hyundai comes with America's best warranty, 3 years of 36,000 miles of limited complimentary maintenance. The Hyundai Getaway sales event's going on right now. So visit your local Hyundai dealer today. It's a great day for a new Hyundai. It's a great day to record a show that's launching on the Roku Sports Channel platform and portal. And ladies and gentlemen, one of the co-hosts and executive producer of Women's Sports Now, Susie Schuster is here.
Hey, everybody. Well, hi there. Great to be here. Roku channel. We're on Roku channel.
I know. You're on the Roku channel.
We're on Roku channel. I'm practicing saying it.
Okay.
Roku channel.
Okay.
3 a.m, I woke up, said Roku channel.
Oh, and you could have watched the Dodgers.
I know. Jinx. I think, didn't Sarah wake up at 3 a.m. or something?
Well, that was
insane.
Because Cage came in bed with us.
Sarah Tiana, a co-host of the show, along with Colleen Wolf, Renee Montgomery. You're recording today. Shaq's on the show.
Shaq is on the show. My security blanket is on the show.
Right.
He's on. Corey Close is on the show. We have the number one women's seed of all of college ball.
Right.
With no disrespect, we have Corey Close.
Yeah, the UCLA head coach is making her way here.
I have to say, yesterday was so insane in the rehearsal. Cooper says I don't laugh very much, right?
Well, you're not around Sierra Tiana enough, right?
Mom, you don't laugh all that much. I was crying so hard. Felly will tell you. I was crying so hard in the rehearsal that I looked like Jennifer Coolidge from White Lotus. I mean, makeup was down to here. Well, it was so amazing.
Don't jump off the
Exactly.
Post.
Hopefully, you know. And I'm not moving to Thailand.
Well, you know Xander's favorite line, you know.
What is that?
Those gays. They're trying to kill me.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
That's your Coolidge.
You're welcome.
It's not a bad Jennifer Coolidge.
That was not bad.
You're getting that out of your
system
before.
Do you remember when Schwarzenegger was here, he wouldn't sit in this chair because it made you feel like you were alone.
It's a baby chair. You called it a baby chair.
It's baby. I won't sit in the baby chair.
You don't like it?
You have to sit up in this chair or else you feel like you're slouchy.
You're not slouching.
I know, so I'm sitting like
this. You're the executive producer of Women's Sports Now. I assume you approve of the chairs that you have on the set.
We have the greatest chairs because I picked them out with our awesome set design. Guys, I feel really excited about this. I'm not going to lie.
Congrats. It's a huge deal.
We have a gorgeous set. It's right over there.
Mm-hmm.
And we are so thrilled to be launching this with Hello Sunshine and Roku Channel. This is... I can't think of another show that's all about women's sports. We are covering every aspect of women's sports. So it won't just be ball. It'll be volleyball. It'll be soccer, NWSL, PWHL. That's a nice looking logo.
Women's Sports Now. Check it out.
Yeah.